So I have my own video from VBS. Mine will be very brief. But this video is a video, hands down, of the hardest group of workers at Ruble Alto. So there were these trails of ants just taking leaves like 10 times their size all over the place. And we saw these 2 years ago going up and down a tree, taking leaves off the tree. And then this was, then they'd actually made a, they cut a path. They, instead of going over the grass, would just go, they actually, it's like a bulldozer of ants just cleared this path right through this yard. It was pretty amazing. So lots of people worked very hard. Those ants never stopped. They just never stopped. They don't eat those leaves, actually. They use it to make some sort of gooey, spongy stuff inside their nest or whatever that becomes a fungus that they like. So this morning's sermon is our closeout sermon in the series on Proverbs, and we begin with a verse that looks at ants. We've been going over favorite Proverbs, and this is the conclusion of that, and the first point just being is work and industriousness in Proverbs. So we all have heard the one about the ants, but that's in Proverbs 6:6-11. It says, go to the ant. Did we have scripture reading yet? Did I bypass that? Will, I apologize. I will read those scriptures when I get to, but my apologies. So thanks, but we'll just sail on. Thanks for go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little rest, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. Well, of course, there's nothing wrong with getting some rest, nothing wrong with taking time to decompress a little bit. We all need rest. We need rest regularly. This is talking about a person who's lazy, slothful, somebody who procrastinates, puts things off until tomorrow or next week or next month. So instead of doing the things that need to be done now, they delay, they put off, they choose an escape. I think I'll do something fun instead, something easy and light, something entertaining in the moment. We live in an age that is pursuing headlong a pursuit of pleasure and hedonism. What makes me happy, what I enjoy, is a lot of self-indulgence, self-satisfaction, self-gratification. Self is on the throne. So too much leisure, too much downtime, too much time wasted on needless things, that's the problem that this proverb is addressing. One of the qualities that God honors is industriousness and hard work. And because he calls us to be good stewards with our time and our talents, our abilities, our resources, to make good use of the opportunities that he brings our way. It doesn't mean you have to account for every waking moment and drive yourself nuts doing that. It just means that a life well lived is one that has purpose and meaning, that is accomplishing some objectives, that's providing for and caring for yourself and for your loved ones. I can't speak for you. I don't follow you around. I know what you do with your spare time. But I know that I can waste time just as much as the next person. It's easy to do. And part of it we justify because we know we do need some downtime. We all need to take a breath and relax from time to time. But we can tell when we kind of cross that line and we're simply wasting time. You know that. I know that. We're procrastinating or being lazy or whatever. But God designed us from the beginning, from way back in the garden, to be productive. Human beings were made to do stuff, be productive, to accomplish things. God even wired us to find some sense of fulfillment in those things that we do and in the accomplishments that we have in life. So we want to work hard. That's what this proverb is saying. But there's something else about this that's important. It's not in Proverbs, in Colossians 3, verse 23. It has an element we don't want to miss. It says, whatever you do, do your work heartily. If you want to work hard, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. That means we are to work hard, but we're also to do our best, to give it our best effort, and to do that in a way that is honoring to the Lord. He cares about our work, how we do it. So God doesn't just want us to just do busy work. He doesn't want us to put in our time and watch the clock, and at 5 o'clock we clock out and go home and and that's it. He wants us to do our work unto the Lord in a manner that is pleasing and honoring to God. That means that we are to be conscientious, faithful, diligent. We're to be honest. We're to go the extra mile, serve others at our work, seek to make our employers all the more successful because we work well for them as good employees. And then when we're done with work and when we're done with finished with the responsibilities we have elsewhere, like at home and taking care of the house and kids getting their homework done and all those things and chores and things like that, when you actually have some free time, go play, have fun, enjoy family, enjoy nature, go to a movie, go to a concert, go on a walk, go swing on a swing, go lay in a hammock, be refreshed, because another day is coming and when there's going to be more work and more responsibilities to take care of that day. And so we hit that day rested and rejuvenated and ready to go. Another proverb that speaks to this is Proverbs 12:11. It says, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. That's the NIV version. ESV says, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. Well, that isn't saying you can't have a creative idea. I mean, God is a God of creativity. He created. That's why all of this is here. That's why we're here, because God is a creative God. He loves creativity. So he's for that. And it's okay to try something new. It's okay to want to start a business or invent a better mousetrap or whatever it is that your creative juices get flowing about. That's all fine, but some people just seem to always be chasing rainbows or some new scheme or some wild idea, and there's just simply never much to show for it. That person probably needs to take some time and seriously think through the merits of some of those ideas that they're pouring time and energy and money into, and see if perhaps God is calling them to pursue something that makes a bit more sense. And that's a hard pill for some people to swallow, but if you have a whole lot of dreams, the point is here, after a certain point, you just need to ground yourself in something that is stable, that is better rooted in reality. So yes, we should dream. Dreams are good, but if those dreams begin to keep us from being responsible and productive people that God calls us to be, then maybe it's time to reevaluate that and make some mid-course adjustments, especially if there are people that are counting on us for providing for them. We have family and things like that. Another proverb is Proverbs 13:11. Says, wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. So again, honesty is important here. Being a person of integrity, a person who doesn't cheat along the way, that's a person that God is going to honor and bless. God honors a person who works hard and provides good labor. The English Standard Version takes that same verse, translates it a little differently. It says, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. So here the point is the value of saving up little by little, step by step, and watching your wealth build gradually. If we're looking for the latest scheme to make a fast buck, we're going to end up with not much at all. We're chasing pipe dreams. And so steady, slow, consistent, that's the way that we save and can build wealth and then using time as our advantage. So those are some proverbs that talk about how God calls us to have hard work, to be industrious, and really that's how he's wired us from the beginning. Then there's some general proverbs that deal with successful living, kind of our final little section here. If you do these things, if you live by these principles, you are more likely to be successful. Again, Proverbs, as we've seen over and over, is not a guarantee, not a promise. It's saying this is a general principle of how life works, and typically, you should expect that if you do these things, then these fulfillments will follow. If you do these bad things, these are the consequences typically. If you do these good things, these will follow. So this one is very clear. Just Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor among those around you, favor among men, is better than silver and gold. And we just talked about wealth and how to build it slowly and honestly over time. But something far more valuable than silver and gold is a good name, a good reputation. God calls us to live our lives uprightly before our fellow man and to conduct ourselves in a way that reflects well of the Lord. I mean, having a good name, building a good reputation is something that touches every aspect of our lives. Whatever you're doing, it can either build a good name or it can begin to tear down your name. How we use our time at work. Are we just kind of dawdling, and playing video games on the computer on company time or whatever? Are we doing that? How we respond when somebody's angry with us? How do you respond back to that? That response of yours is going to reflect good or bad upon your name, your reputation. What we do when we get the wrong amount of change, too much change back at the grocery store. Simple little thing, but you know, somebody might see that. What are you doing with that? What is your integrity level even in small, minor things? Reflects on your good name. How we keep our grass mowed and trimmed. How we respond to little kids. Do you receive kids well? What about the disabled? About somebody with a mental illness of some sort? How do we respond to situations like that? Are we receiving and loving and caring to that person, reaching out, welcoming them? That reflects on our name. How we give. Are we generous? How we sacrifice our time and our talents? The type of speech that comes out of our mouth. You know, is it bad words, coarse joking, anger, impatience, gossip? What is spewing forth that reflects upon your name, your reputation? In practically everything we do, our reputation is either helped or hindered in some way. A good name, but that's priceless. That's priceless. It's one of the keys to successful living. Another is Proverbs 26:11. It says, "Like," and you've heard this, "like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats folly." You know, so we've heard that phrase, a dog returning to its vomit. What it's talking about is not repeating the same mistakes over and over again. If we have any wisdom at all, and this is chapter 26, verse 11, so it's had 25 chapters of challenging us to absorb wisdom, to have wisdom, to live a wise life. It's saying if you make these same mistakes and keep repeating them, that's not wise. That's folly. He who repeats that is folly. So it says learn from our mistakes. Learn. There's lessons to be soaked up there because we all make mistakes. So when that happens, then learn from that and grow. And don't make the same mistake the next time. Move on. Be better for that. One of the things that I've always struggled with in my life is conflict. I grew up in a house, as you know, with a lot of conflict, with my parents fighting and yelling and pushing and shoving and throwing pots and pans and hitting each other. And so that was how my home was a lot of the time. And so I hate conflict. And I flee conflict. It's who I am. Well, you can't really function well in the world and be around people very long and not have some level of conflict. You just can't. Part of human interaction in a fallen world. And yet I try all I can. I try like the plague to avoid conflict. That's just Steve. And how that plays out is this. I will occasionally have to deal with some situation in some area of my life where somebody did not fulfill an obligation, or they hurt somebody else for what they said, or there was some offense given, and I need to address it, and I don't. Often, I wait. Often, I delay. I procrastinate. I guess I'm hoping it would just go away. It would just kind of sort of, you know, go off into thin air. I don't know. But of course, it does not. It doesn't go away. And the person who is the offending party is never confronted, never learns. So they don't benefit from that learning moment. But then they go off and they hurt somebody else. And had I helped them grow from that and nip that in the bud, if I address it the first time, maybe there wouldn't be a second and a third. But my tendency is to avoid conflict, to put off that confrontation. And the person keeps on offending or not learning or not growing. And that may seem something like as simple as, well, Steve's just not good at conflict. He's not good at confrontation. That's true. This verse is saying more than that, sadly. This verse is more serious. The Bible is saying that my avoiding dealing with those problems is actually folly. It's me returning to the same vomit because I haven't learned that lesson. I keep putting it off. I keep delaying. I have this pattern, and I'm not helping me or anybody else. That is folly, according to Scripture. Just the truth of it. There's a better way to handle that. There's a better way to grow. I should learn from that mistake and recognize I need to deal with that conflict. I need to deal with that issue. If I would learn, things would be better. Here's another verse about successful living. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, and you've heard this one as well, for you do not know what a day may bring. And the point here, of course, is, and this is repeated by Jesus in the Gospels in a slightly different form, but the point is we're only promised today. And today has enough cares and enough concerns to keep us busy all by itself. Doesn't mean we shouldn't save for a rainy day or save for retirement. Doesn't mean you should make future plans for like a vacation or something or save for a house or all that stuff. That's fine. It just means that in the end, only God knows the number of our days, right? And we should be fully present in this day, living in this day, making this day count. Because none of us can guarantee that there will be another day. We can't. We can't guarantee there'll be a tomorrow. So it doesn't make sense to go around boasting about all that you're going to do in the future, all you're going to enjoy in the future, because nobody knows. Only God knows, and He says, be here. Live this day well. And if we will make this day count, then whatever days we get to enjoy in the future will be better days because of how successfully we lived this day. And that will make for a more successful life. It just will. One final proverb for us as we close. This ends our series on Proverbs, but it just describes a great way to live. I love this verse. It doesn't. In fact, it seems like an anomaly because it really is more than a proverb, just a wise saying, or this is normally true. This one's an absolute. This one is a guarantee. This one, you can count on this verse. I love this verse. Proverbs 18:10. And Proverbs doesn't talk a lot about God's attributes. Here it plants its flag. It says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe." That is a truth from Scripture. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Life in a fallen world is chaotic. It's unpredictable, full of temptation and sin, full of those who hate God and hate those who stand with God. And yet there is standing right in the middle, that is the Lord, and He is a strong tower. He is unmoved, unshaken, unaffected by the world. And those who love Him find their refuge in Him. They find their refuge there. That's where they are truly safe, now and forever. It's like Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Do you need a strong tower? As an alien in a hostile land, as children of God in a fallen world, don't you need a strong tower? Run into it and be safe. Run into it and be safe. That's a very powerful verse for successful living. We find our refuge in God, not in human wisdom, not in human knowledge, not in human strength. We find our refuge in God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The world got you rattled. Has our chaotic, godless culture brought you to fear? Do the forces of evil seem to be overwhelming at times? Our Lord is a strong tower. Run to Him and be safe. Run to Him and be safe. Run to Him and be safe. Thank you, Father, for these words.